Welcome, everyone. I'm Lorreen Kamalu, taking my year as chair of the Davis County Board of Commissioners. Today is Tuesday, April 25th, 2023. It's 10 a.m. And we are in our Davis County Administration Building here in Farmington to have our weekly meeting. I have Vice Chair Commissioner Stevenson and Commissioner Elliott here. And thanks to all who are here to present and to engage with us today. We actually do have a very special visitor. And this is in the back with his grandfather, the recorder Richard Mann. We have Cooper Gunnarsson, did I say your name correctly? Who is a senior at Layton High School, is required to attend a public meeting. But these are so fun, just keep coming back if you can get excused from school.
The tire meeting.
And apparently, while he was visiting with Shauna Brady, the commission office manager, like his mission call came in the moment, and but you're not opening it yet, I understand.
We can do it right here. In front of you.
So that takes great restraint. Were you going to say something, Bob?
Let's hold it up to the light.
Yeah, there was a time where I got to it before one of my kids. I opened it and resealed it. So anyway,
Commissioner Kamalu, keep in mind that that's now part of the permanent record.
I know, right? Yeah. Thanks for your continual reminders. Yeah, I can't. In fact, the cool story, I didn't see where he was called. I'm just joking, but the mail, we were leaving town. We hoped it would arrive before we left so we could open it as a family out of town. And literally our mail carrier saw it and brought it to our house especially without us even saying anything. And he made a special delivery. So that's the story that I remember. It's a special time. Congratulations. So Cooper is going to lead us in the pledge today. And thank you so much, Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we will go through our agenda. And first is public comment. If anyone is here to address the commissioners, we would love to hear from you. Okay, seeing none, we will move on to business in action. And we have something first off from the auditor's office with Curtis Koch presenting.
Commissioners, you have for your consideration the fraud risk assessment questionnaire that is required by state statute to be filed with your external audit annually. I will note that this year we did not check all the boxes. We do not have a ethics policy that is signed by all elected officials, and so that is being, and I believe department heads, and so that's something that we can work on moving forward, but the fraud risk assessment is before you for your consideration. The second item is a grant application for state and local fiscal recovery funds from Friends of Switchpoint. Switchpoint is the group that is working with Davis School District and their the Davis Foundation to run the operations of their teen homeless center. And so this $1.9 million will be used for operational expenses and allow them to get up and running and be self-sufficient. It's been made abundantly clear that this is not something that will go on in perpetuity, and that's one of the interesting aspects and really commendable aspects of Switchpoint is they have a sustainability model. They give these individuals that are participating in the program opportunities to learn and grow, have skill sets, and so through micro businesses that they set up, So those are before you for consideration. I'd happy to answer any questions.
Curtis, I do have one question. I think even though you'll work on and add a fraud risk assessment questionnaire, which is wonderful, we do already sign an annual conflict of interest paper, right? I know they didn't ask about that, but we do have that.
Yes, the conflict of interest is different than a code of ethics, though.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I'll make a motion that we approve items 1 and 2.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Thank you. All right. We have an item number 3, which I will present for the commission office, and this is to consider approval of the resolution to appoint Jennifer E. Decker as an official representative for Davis County, so one of the at-large positions, on the South Davis Recreation District Administrative Control Board. Someone who was on the board in the at-large position needed to resign early, and so Jennifer will be finishing that term. And so the terms begin April 18th of 2023. You can see it just goes through the end of the year for this particular finish, and then we anticipate she might be interested to reappointed at that time. Randy, Commissioner Elliott and I were able to interview her specifically, but all three commissioners interviewed several really great candidates. We have always people very interested in serving in this way, which is wonderful for Davis County. So we enjoy it and are grateful to all who took the time to apply. So I move approval of number 3.
And I'll second that approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Next up is our Community and Economic Development Director, Kent Anderson.
Morning, Commission. I do not have the longest list today, but certainly probably the longest title on item number 4.
Still the leader in the clubhouse.
Right, trying to find some space there. Item number 4 is an approval of the Community Development Block Grant Subrecipient Agreement with Woods Cross City to install a new 8-inch PVC water line, 2 6-inch poly lines, and 22 new 3/4-inch poly laterals from the new main to existing residential meters. In addition, 2 aging fire hydrants will be replaced, and 4 handicap ramps will be replaced with ADA-compliant ramps. This will be taking place in a qualified low to moderate income census tract located on 675 West between 1300 South and 1500 South. Terms payable in the amount of $199,500 beginning 1-1-2023 to 12-31-2023. Item number 5 is an approval of a grant application to apply for the American Rescue Plan or State and Local Fiscal Recovery Funds, ARPA or SLFRF. Funding for a new homeownership assistance program to assist low to moderate income families to purchase a home in Davis County. So this is following a little bit of a conversation that we had with the commission at work session, as at that time we were focusing specifically the community development block grant. So here's an opportunity where we could go a little bit beyond that. One of the changes that we did propose in this, there is $400,000 identified for personnel, but we had recommended a 1% interest rate. So it would be a loan not to exceed $50,000 with a 1% interest rate. The idea was this would be a revolving loan fund, something that would exist in our community in perpetuity. But having a minor interest rate in there would be able to pay for activity delivery for personnel. As those funds come back in, there'll now be time and staff associated to go out and re-loan those. So that's why that's included in that piece.
Did you say what the minor interest rate is, Ken?
1%.
1%.
And it this would only be due and payable when the home is either refinanced, sold. So it wouldn't be a payment that a homeowner would make annually. It would just be due and payable upon the sale of the home. Then item number 6 is an approval of the contract with Intermountain Lacrosse for lacrosse spring games and tournaments. Terms receivable in the amount of $6,911.30 beginning 4/15/2023 to 5/13/2023.
Can I make a comment on item 5 as well?
Yes.
So you'll notice the amount of $4 million. That is considered an over allocation right now of funds. So the reason we are over allocating we anticipated right now that is the commission has been brought up to speed on through various budget meetings is $2 million. We're putting $4 million so that in the event other projects fall through or we don't, before December 31st of 2024, we have to allocate all the funds. We are going to over allocate, So if projects fall apart between December 31st of 2024 and December 31st of 2026, we can honestly say we have them allocated. We just, the projects that fell out, we're moving them to another project. So being open, honest, transparent, that is what we're doing. We've consulted with NACO. They believe that that is reasonable, and not to say that somebody else isn't going to have a different opinion, but we've done our research, and so we will start potentially over-allocating to projects, but what we're anticipating right now is $2 million, but with a potential allocation of up to $4
million. Yeah, that's helpful. And just a quick another quick question. So up to the $50,000 mark and the terms beginning May 1st of 2023, and then this through December 31st of 2026, that it'll go annually. I don't know, just explain, like, when will should people start looking for a way to apply, and where do they find that information?
So upon approval and consideration of the policies and procedures by the commission, then our expectation would be develop the work plan to then be able to roll that out. But my expectation would be towards the end of the year, first part of next year.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank
I'll
you.
I'll make a motion that we approve items 4, 5, and 6 as presented to us.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Kent. All right. Facilities Director Lane Rose with 7 and 8.
Good morning, Commission. I have two items for you today. Item number 7 is an acceptance of an agreement with Farmington City. This is for a waterline connection agreement for our new event center redevelopment project again, it's with Farmington City. The terms on this, no amount. This is beginning today, 4/25 of 2023. Item number 7 is a similar agreement with Farmington City. This is for a long-term stormwater management agreement that's required by the city for our project. This is also no amount, and it's beginning today, 4/25 of 2023.
Very good. Thanks, Lane. I move approval of facilities 7 and 8.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Very good. Now from our health department, Director Brian Hatch has one item, and I will mention while he's coming up that the annual symposium for boards of health starts tomorrow, and boards of health from all over the state and all the various counties will come together, and they are a policy making group potentially, huh? We get reminded about that.
Hi. Morning. Just one item today. It's a ratification of an agreement, a tamper diesel to truck restoration program agreement with Utah Physicians for a Healthy Environment and us. This is to run through the health department to administer funds that may be ordered by the court to be paid by the defendant, TAP Worldwide. So what this is EPA, they fined a company for selling tampered parts, different things to tamper with diesel vehicles. And so in this settlement, they'll be ordered to pay money, and that would be put back into restoring vehicles that have been tampered with. And this agreement is for us to manage those funds and run it through that system. And any excess funds after a year will be put back into our vehicle repair and replacement program. So for the whole, all of the vehicles that fail emissions, that money can be used for that after that year has expired for any diesel vehicle that had been tampered with that needs to be restored back to original manufacturer.
So it sounds like it's a new pot of money then.
Yes, this is a settlement that'll come out of the court proceedings. And we were named in that as, Neil can talk maybe a little bit more, but they've chosen a few areas. Weber County is named in this also as potential to receive funds, as well as us, because we have these programs. So our program will be for anyone in one of the non-attainment zones, so Logan, Hercash, Weber, Salt Lake, Tooele, us, Utah County, any of these vehicles will be eligible. But we've been named a to run it, because we have another settlement that came through and the defendants were Diesel Brothers in the past. We're still waiting for that, but as it runs through the system, this is the agreement for us to accept that money and run the program.
So it's not attainment for air quality?
Yes.
And there was a question when we had staff meeting yesterday to just see if everything had gone through. Did number 9 then get approved by attorneys? Or yes, okay, great. The clerk's helping with that. Anything else you want to say, Neil, or is that good?
No, just, you know, we're still waiting on the funds from the earlier settlement with Diesel Brothers, so this may be a while before they come in. It's just part of the EPA system is to have these consent agreements to make sure that these funds go into other air quality protection programs. Yeah. That's kind of the focus of it.
And that's so great that we have those programs here in Davis County. Wonderful.
Okay, I'll move approval of item number 9.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Very good.
Thank you.
Recorder Mon, did your grandson get one of the agendas so he can follow along?
I'll print one down.
Okay, there could be some by the door. Yeah, maybe just double check that. Okay, excellent. So next up is our, from Human Resources, but it's actually our Legal Defender Coordinator, Todd Utzinger, presenting an item.
Morning. I'm here to present on a modification to the grant that we received from the Indigent Defense Commission. It's actually been in place. The dates are a little confusing. They had extra funds available, one-time funding for at least 18 months, but renewable thereafter. So the funding actually kicked in January 1 of 2023 and initially runs through June 30th of 2023 for $40,000. This also automatically renews for $80,000 for fiscal year 2024. The dates are a little unusual because as we started the process of trying to hire someone, I realized the IDC had never signed the agreement and sent it back to me. So that's why it's dated in March and we're doing it now. The social worker we hired started yesterday with hit the decks running, already visiting somebody at the jail, and is in court today on these parental rights cases. So I'd ask that we approve this. What it does is it increases funding from the IDC by $40,000 for the remaining fiscal year 2023 and an additional $80,000 for fiscal year 2024 that will automatically renew.
Yes, this is a big deal. I think I can comment just a little bit on this. This is the first time that Davis County is getting a social worker to help with the things to help people who've been charged, right?
Well, this is exclusively for parents whose rights to parental rights are subject to termination,
yeah,
unless they meet requirements imposed by the court. I should also note this is cobbled together funding with the help of the Auditor's Office and the Indigent Defense Commission. The salary is being paid by the Indigent Defense Commission. Benefits are being funded through federal Title IV-E funding. So ultimately, it's not any additional out-of-pocket expense to county taxpayers.
And that's because you worked on it. And thank you for that, Todd.
With the assistance of Curtis.
Yes.
And Adam Troop of the IDC.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well. And you spearheaded it. And thank you. And this is a really big deal because
we're the third county in Utah to get one of these.
Yes. And it's actually considered a best practice. I just yesterday was talking with someone who's a legal defender down in Utah County area, and
Margaret?
No, a guy named John.
Oh, okay.
Quan?
Quan.
Do you know him?
I know of him.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
And he knows a lot, and he talked about how strong it's been for Utah County. I think I have a whole team of people who do these kinds of things, right? And I knew that when I was a brand new commissioner in IDC. Margaret down there talked about how important and how helpful it is, because the defenders will try to be helpful in social work kinds of things.
Help place people in treatment earlier than normally would happen, help secure housing, even help them get groceries. I mean, it's really for people that are struggling that otherwise may fall through the cracks without additional support.
Yes, and the hope is that if they can stabilize with some of the services that just already exist, and and take advantage of the services that already exist in the communities than to both reoffend and to recidivate, those rates go lower, down. Yeah, so it's a big deal. Ultimately, savings to taxpayers and counties. Anyway, thank you so much for that.
I'll make a motion that we approve item 10 presented to us by Todd.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was fun to quiz an attorney for once.
we'll get you a robe.
I know enough to be dangerous now.
And a black robe, not a bathrobe.
Thank you.
They don't
didn't want a picture of the bathrobe.
Moving on.
So, the library, Director Josh Johnson, has 11 and 12.
Right, so these are monthly, quarterly agreements we run past. The first one is a summary list of donations of books and materials over $50 for a total of $674.75. It's books that people bring in and donate. I mentioned that before, so that's the first item. Second item is...
And then the beginning terms, January 1st, 2023 through the end of March... 3/31/2023. Yes, thank you, Josh. Okay.
The second item is with low dollar contracts. Most of these are for summer reading. We have plenty of free programs that we do a contract for to make sure we get someone to come. A lot of times I think it's a good incentive to make sure if we can't get a contract back, they're also not likely to show up and do the program. So even the free ones have a contract. So.
Very good.
That's for a total of, $5,335 for the month of February.
Yep. 2/28/2023 to 2/29/2024. I move approval of 11 and 12 as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Is that right, Josh?
Yeah, that's right. They put in the dates of the programs.
Yeah. Very good. Thanks for all your work in libraries. Now we have several items from our sheriff's office, and it is good thing I know all your names, because it's not O'Gladis we have here. It is Chief Deputy Taylor West.
Chief O'Glad had to call in a stunt double today, so it's me. Same outfit.
Excellent.
On behalf of the sheriff's office, we have a couple of items. The first one is approval of the release of liability for 7 individual participants in our SCRAM alcohol monitoring program. It's receivable in varied amounts based on their test results and monitoring fees, and it begins upon the final signature and runs until they're no longer court ordered to be in the program.
Very good, thank you.
Our next item is approval of a training reimbursement for Basic Corrections Academy and Special Functions Academy for Deputy Jared Allen Rodriguez. It's payable in the amount of $15,004, and it begins the day that he is sworn in as a deputy and runs 2 years from that date. We have another training agreement for Special Functions Training and Basic Corrections Academy training for Deputy Jess M. Banta. Those terms are payable in the amount of $15,140, and it begins also on the first day that he is sworn in as a deputy sheriff and runs 2 years from that date. Number 16 is approval of a standard law enforcement service contract with Aspen Production Services to have deputies provide security during the filming of a commercial here in the county. And the terms of that, it's a receivable in the amount of $850, and it's for one day, which is the 27th of 4/27/23.
Yeah, I thought that was so curious.
Yeah, they need us just for the day to do some traffic control for them. Number 17 is a ratification for a software as a service agreement with a company called EmpowerDB USA. It's software that we use to manage our grants and track victim advocate services. It's a payable in the amount of $3,400, and it begins 4/20 of 23, or it began 4/20 of 23 and ends 5 years later on 4/20 of 28. And our final item is an approval of the contract with Rushton Services, LLC for lawn care services, and it's a payable in the amount of $21,750, beginning 4/24 of 23 and ending 11/3 of 23. And that's all that I have.
Thank you, Taylor.
I'll make a motion that we approve items 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17.
And 18. Excellent.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye. I move the recess to Board of Equalization.
Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Commissioners, you have for your consideration under auditor adjustments, you have an exempt entities renewal report with 83, recommending renewal of all of those tax exempt entities. You have an exempt three exempt application hearings for your consideration, total of $303.24. Under abatements, you have an abatement denial report with various recommended denials. Under corrections, you have one item with an assessor correction. The value on the property was corrected, and so the adjustment of $4,598.96. You have seven veteran exemption tax abatements, and then you have a parcel that was purchased or owned by UTA, and so the taxes need to be abated for 2018 through 2022. And that is your property tax register for April 25th, 2023.
I'd make a motion that we approve the property tax register as presented to us.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Move that we reconvene commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Very good. Thank you. All right, we have any comments that will be helpful for the public to know is how we close our meetings. Anything from the clerk's office?
Yes, Commissioner, I just wanted to share with you,
this last week I had an opportunity to participate in a cybersecurity attack scenario that was provided by the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency, or CISA, in coordination with the Utah Department of Technology Services. Myself, Chris Bone, our HR director, was there. Our IT director and his team were there. We had our risk manager. We had Commissioner Stevenson in attendance. I believe some folks from our law enforcement were on the line as well. But it really was just a great scenario to go through and realize, you know, the things that can happen and the things that we need to be considering to have in place. Big takeaways that I brought from there is the importance of each of us as individuals to understand the responsibility that we have to help maintain a good cybersecurity posture. You know, here in the county, we regularly receive these trainings from our IT department, the phishing attempts and things like that. And it's very important that each of us take those seriously and participate in those actively and learn from them. Because as wonderful as our IT department is in maintaining the security of our systems, we as individuals can be the weakest link and cause some significant issues. So it's just important for us to keep that in mind in all of our individual responsibilities. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for reporting on that. It sounded very important. Okay, our auditor.
No comment, thank you.
Attorney Neal.
No comment.
All right. Commissioner Elliott.
Yesterday on our board tours for Weber Basin, just a lot of questions that come in, you know, why is the secondary water on? It's another way for us to alleviate flooding. We have a lot of bathtubs we've created in our reservoirs, and so the hope is that as the water runoff keeps continuing to increase, that those bathtubs will fill up and we'll have a metered flood. So right now Weber River and Ogden River is at a stage where it's a metered release. And so that way it's not flooding anybody in particular, but they're just being metered. And I know Huntsville, the reservoir there, Pine View, it's at 29% capacity, so we're anticipating that there's about three Pine Views behind it that are going to be coming down. And so monitoring those releases and then filling up the secondary systems now so that there's other outlets for that water to be released that can take pressure off of the rivers and the channels as we just, you know, mitigate that problem that we will foresee here, future here coming, that the water will be flowing. There'll probably be some areas out in West Weber that will flood, just from the past, 2011, when they flooded as well. And so we have those concerns, and just, you know, they're monitoring everything to make sure the water flows will go out. So it's been a great year for water. Last year we were worried about not having any water, now we got plenty of water. So Great Salt Lake came up 4 feet. Your figure might come up another 4 feet from there too. So come up to maybe 8 feet total, which will be great for the lake. And then anticipation is it might be another same year next year. So it'll be a good water years, hopefully, for the next couple of years.
Such good news.
Yep.
Great news. Thank you. And Commissioner Stevenson.
No problem.
Okay. So a few things from me that I'll go through rapidly, but I had lacked the data right in front of me last week. Davis County Agriculture, number of farms. I believe they said this is 2017, though, so we anticipate some of these may be lower, but 2017 data, number of farms here in Davis County, 528. The land and farms, 51,793 acres. Average farm size, this is interesting, 98 acres. Acres irrigated, 19% of the land in the farms, so actually a lower percentage of irrigation on those farms, interesting. And family farms make up 97% of the farms. Not a surprise, right? We tend to know who those people are. So anyway, and as far as how Davis County ranks in the state, we rank second when it comes to nursery, greenhouse, floriculture, and sod. We're big, you know, and you see those sod farms here. We are fourth in the state when it comes to vegetables, melons, potatoes, and sweet potatoes. This next one was a surprise to me. Sixth in the state for hogs and pigs. Who knew? Who knew? I don't know. It makes Randy smile. We've had
pigs. Because I've had to deal with them.
Pigs on the loose.
Pigs on the loose. Pigs
in animal care.
Pigs rounding up million-dollar homes. I mean, they're out there.
They are out there.
Pigs disappearing.
Pigs and raccoons.
They're all over the place. Exactly.
Who knew? So anyway, and there's 29 counties in the state, so 6 out of 29. We're right up there. We're 10th in the state for grains, oil seeds, dry beans, and dry peas. And we are 16th in the state when it comes to the total market value of ag products. Davis County has historically, in the history of this state, been an agricultural county. And for that reason, we still really value it. It's a big deal that there are still people who will farm here. We think it's wonderful. Crops make up 85% of the share of sales by type, with livestock being 15% of the share of sales by type. They gave other great information, but because you had to be there and it was open public, people could still go back and look at it. Safe Harbor sent a letter to the county. Safe Harbor Crisis Center would like to personally thank Davis County for supporting the Kaysville campus extension. Davis County's generous contribution, again, ARPA funds, or state and local fiscal relief. Yeah, the SLFRF, part of the relief funds. Davis County's generous contribution of $2 million will help alleviate the risk of homelessness for survivors of domestic abuse and sexual assault in our community. And people fleeing their homes because of domestic abuse is one of the very top reasons for homelessness, which is pretty sobering, but it's right here in Davis County as well. So there's more into that letter, but I wanted everyone to know about that. It's a big deal. And then Farm Bureau, in response to the worldwide pandemic in 2020, the Utah Farm Bureau formed a Utah-based nonprofit corporation to assist the poor and underprivileged by providing assistance and relief during disasters, emergencies, and temporary hardships, with particular emphasis on those persons and communities involved in agriculture, farming, and ranching. And so since this is toward the beginning of the pandemic, May 8th, 2020, formation of this, it's called the Miracle of Agriculture Foundation. When supply channels were so disrupted and they could not get all of their production to the normal places, the Miracle of Agriculture Foundation raised over $800,000 to serve poor and needy families. And then with the support of many individuals and organizations, from farmers and ranchers to large corporations and other nonprofits to typical Utahns, the Miracle of Agriculture Foundation has helped provide 1.5 million pounds of food to struggling Utah families, while also assisting scores of Utah farmers and ranchers. I thought that was pretty incredible. A new nonprofit right there. And finally, just to continue, we'll be talking about this a lot. I've almost considered making it a standing agenda item, but all of the county leaders, as far as elected officials, and also our facilities and animal care department, we have worked for years and continue to work now more immediately on the exciting prospect of updating our facility and what that looks like for the build out of Davis County. We're the first county that will build out, so we know what we need to do ahead of us, a great study. One tour that I went on just with the animal care director was the Salt Lake County's facility, equally as old as ours, but much larger. And I'm sure that I'll have many opportunities to talk about that. We have another tour coming up, which has been publicly noticed because the commissioners will be together as well as some others to go see the one that exists in the Humane Society facility in Salt Lake City. And that is the more updated kind of facility, which allows for flows and efficiencies, so you have less staff when you can get through the building in ways that are not only good for the animals, but also for the humans who are doing that service. So listen for that, pay attention to that. There will be a lot more as we continue to discuss it openly and publicly. And thanks to everyone for their work. And we'll adjourn. It is 10:39. Have a great day.